Anybody else back yet?
Playing with the boys. Playing with the boys.
Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Faking Movies. As you've come to know and love, the dulcet tones of Seth's ocarina welcoming you to yet another episode.
We don't get a lot of fan feedback, but if anyone has any opinions on the intros, could that be the one thing anyone comments on ever? Just so we can get a definitive take on who likes or maybe doesn't like those. Yep.
Seth, okay. play us the hits of tomorrow today.
Alternatively, do you know Africa by Toto? Because I'd be very down for that.
Oh man, I'm gonna learn that on ocarina that I keep on my desk. Right. Well, later tonight.
Sounds awesome.
All right.
Well,
now.
Anyway.
Anyway, welcome back to Faking Movies. I'm here with my friends, of course, Zach. How you doing today, Zach?
I'm doing great. How are you?
And Lee. Lee, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, Seth. Thank you. It's so nice of you to ask.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, this is... this is episode 30, Dirty 30.
This is episode Dirty 30?
Yeah,
that works so well with our actors for today.
I was going to say,
yeah,
is there another
Dirty
word
Birdie
or
for
name
Dirty 30?
That maybe rhymes with that? Yeah. Who knew? All right.
Before we get into it, we wanted to just do a little housekeeping. Of course, please visit our brand new website, fakingmovies.com. It is up and running. What's that?
Yep.
No spaces, no hyphens.
No spaces.
Right, like
a
web address.
Yeah, like the internet, right.
Yeah, no, it'll appear like a 20% sign, right?
Oh, you're talking about escape characters. Yeah, that's the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah, we don't have any of those. That's true. Yes.
Well, anyway,
so off base.
We've got our new website up and running now. Along with that, we got some new, some better like trackers for how many downloads we're getting, where they're coming from, and we just wanted to say like hello to our international fans. We wanted to say hello to our fans in the UK, and since they speak English, I guess I already did that.
Yep. Konnichiwa, UK fans.
Yeah. Bienvenido a fakingmovies.com.
Yeah, so admittedly, it's hard to tell like what the actual deal is, but it does seem to be a heavily UK-based international fandom, which is great. Yeah.
It's either that or it's VPNs. So
it's either that or VPNs or the Queen, as Lee has posited several times.
Yes,
yes,
and
several times this week.
Yeah, I you know, I've decided since Liz is a fan of ours, I would use this as a platform to ask her to end the monarchy. I mean, it's about time.
They're just getting married and having kids and stuff, the youngins, like, I mean.
Yeah.
Oof.
Well, too bad for the wealthiest landowners on Earth.
Yeah, don't you have enough already? God damn it. Just kidding. Please
anyway.
Keep subscribing. All right. Please.
So yep,
Seth,
let's alienate our only British fans.
Yeah, fuck you and fuck Peoria.
Our only international fans.
Yeah. So Seth, You had some some issues you wanted to address before we got started.
Yeah, I sure do. So someone in our listenership is stealing all of our IP. All of our intellectual properties are just being stolen right out from under
maybe
us.
Maybe not even and someone, maybe several someones. It's more of a concerted group effort, I think, yeah.
It seems more conspiratory, yes. That's
very clandestine.
So,
yes, it is chemtrail adjacent.
Yes. Some episode ago, a long, long time ago, in the before time, as it is referred to, I mentioned, like, the proper pronunciation of octopodes or octopodes or however you want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And that, like, the day that episode came out was then also, it also appeared in a Vice article. I think it was Vice. I don't really remember at this point. We should have been writing this down. This is like the third or fourth time our intellectual properties and goofs have appeared elsewhere.
Yeah, so that's the important part is this is like, I would say even sixth or seventh time, and we kept a just non-existent record of this. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And,
it does happen a bunch,
yeah, and the most recent one is Screen Junkies recently did a... what is it? Honest Trailer? I think it's called Honest Trailer.
Yeah, for Jumanji.
For Jumanji. And they did a Kirsten Dunst checks in joke, which is like our entire thing.
That's
I can't
clearly,
believe
our entire
clearly thing. A riff. clearly a riff on I don't... our beloved recurring segment, the Dunsts in check-in.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean...
Exactly. So... we're on to you, people.
Yeah.
Robots. I'm not sure.
I like how hollow of a threat this is. The whole point of this is just, hey, stop. Please. or don't. Or I don't know, like, say our podcast name, like, once or whatever.
I'm going to make a prediction, guys. And that prediction is that... the theft of our good goofs is going to be the Shakespeare authorship conspiracy theory of the 23rd century.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just like Shakespeare ripped off West Side Story.
well.
Famously.
Shakespeare timeline.
I mean...
Okay.
Speaking of which, Time Lord Steve Zahn, maybe you should get in on this and help us out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We notice you haven't been acting in a lot of shit, so you want to fucking come on this podcast? Sounds like you got some free time.
You know, it's funny that we love Steve Zahn so much. Have we ever done a Steve Zahn movie?
Not
we,
to date.
We haven't yet.
Oh,
like,
no.
I mean, it's possible that we've seen all Steve Zahn vehicles already.
Well, right. We had talked about Happy Texas, but it was very close to a movie we have also done, and so we did not do it. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. No, we haven't. Yeah, I think it's like Nick Cage. We've just seen them all, and they're all so good that it's not in the sort of repertoire. Yeah.
Love you, Steve Zahn.
Love you.
Yep.
Hashtag love you. Hashtag come on the podcast.
Saving Silverman is underrated.
Oh, wild.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, should we get started, guys?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, always yes.
Oh, yeah.
Always yes.
Okay, so let's get into for our Dirty 30, a movie starring Dirty Birdie.
Yeah.
So, Lee, what movie are you faking today?
Well, as it's been established on the show, I have watched just like way too much, so we have to go pretty far afield for my episodes.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, which, but it was worth it. It was definitely worth it.
Seth. So I watched this movie like 3 days ago. Seth watched it last night, and we chatted, I think, through the entirety of your watch, Seth.
Yeah, except for like the couple opening scenes, which are crazy town, bazonker pants, to say the least.
Our entire chat was, "What the fuck?" And I was like, "I know." And you're like, "No, but really, what the fuck?" And I was like, "I know."
Got a lot to live up to. I've got a lot to live up to.
Yeah, but I think yours will be different, but also pretty much a big steaming pile of what the fuckery. So, what actors did we give you, Lee?
Well, I also should mention the name of the movie, because we kind of skipped that.
Oh, yeah, that's true, because the name of the movie is also some what the fuckery, let's be honest.
Yeah, so basically we decided, hey, we really enjoyed doing... doing Smokey and the Bandit, we should do more Burt Reynolds if we can. And we stumbled upon a movie called Sharky's Machine.
Stumble upon is the only verb to be associated with that movie ever in the history of everything. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I sure do hope, Lee, your version or the real version involves a pinball machine, but I don't know if it will.
Ah, okay. Well... So I am very excited to find out what the titular machine refers to, but
so was I through most of this movie.
A little bit.
Well, okay. The actors you gave me were Burt Reynolds, Vittorio Gassman, Charles Durning, Bernie Casey, and Rachel Ward.
Yep. So how many of those did you
know? Two, Burt Reynolds and Charles Durning.
That's more than me. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Vittorio Gassman is a reasonably famous Italian actor. He's done a lot of work in Italian, but not so many English language works, which will become apparent later.
Was his English not a so good... Is that what you're saying?
No. You can do that because you're Italian in origin, but man.
No, Italian is fine to make fun of, I think.
I feel like I couldn't pull Mario there and make it out with my skin intact. But okay, go for it.
Yeah. No, his Italian was fine. It was mostly his acting that was bad, I would say.
You mean his English?
His English. It was like okay. Anyway, yeah, this is not important. Go ahead.
No. We'll talk about it shortly.
Oh boy, will
we? We'll get there. We'll get there.
All
right. So Lee, I am super excited because you have been bragging about this plot for like a week. I was again out of town this week and like couldn't watch it, and we had to delay recording and shit, and like you were just like rearing to go. So give us that hot, steamy Burt Reynolds juice.
So I do want to mention that when we decided that we would put this movie on our master list and that I hadn't seen it, I immediately, when I saw the title, knew what I was going to do. And this was like 2 months ago.
Yeah,
so,
this has been months in the making. Yeah.
I'm super excited. So Lee, what is your version of Sharky's Machine?
Yeah.
I'm gonna start my version off with a question.
Okay.
Hey guys, what's the best part of the Lord of the Rings books?
All of the extra endings.
Oh god. What a hard question.
That's right, guys.
I don't know.
That's right, guys.
The scourging of the Shire.
The scouring of the Shire. That is the right answer, Seth.
Oh, shit!
So,
yep. I'm a genius. You know what? Send all your checks and our money orders to fakingmovies.com.
Please, care of please Seth. Do. Wait, please do. Send checks to a website? What the fuck?
You know.
Lee, we need to monetize this somehow. What are you doing, dude?
PayPal, Venmo, just, we'll set that up. It's fine. It's fine.
Just ball up those personal checks and throw them at your computer. So,
and just keep doing it until it works.
You know what's interesting about the Scouring of the Shire? It was two things. It's never been filmed, other than a little like throwaway moment in the Fellowship movie.
Yeah, in the extended edition, right? I don't think it exactly. was in the theatrical cut.
You know what the other interesting part about The Scouring of the Shire is?
And
Saruman is in that chapter, and he goes by the name Sharky.
Oh boy.
It's been so long since I read that, but yeah.
Okay.
My movie, Sharky's Machine, is a reimagining of The Scouring of the Shire from Saruman's perspective.
Okay, so this is the Rogue One of the Lord of the Rings universe? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. And Burt Reynolds is going to play Saruman, obviously.
Well, there was... Well, so, like, there was a reimagining, I think it came out in the mid-70s, of the Beowulf tale from Grendel's perspective, called Grendel, and I don't remember the author, but it was, like, quite good. It was all like, oh, why are these Danes picking on me? I'm gonna have to murder them. No, just go ahead. I'm too excited for this. I'll talk about Grendel later.
So, fade in.
Starting off strong.
The movie starts with Burt Reynolds as Saruman, dead on the ground. His throat has been slit by Grima Wormtongue, and a voiceover kicks in. And we cut over to a different shot. And it's Burt Reynolds and four other dudes walking to the camera, like in Reservoir Dogs. And the...
Jesus Christ.
And the voiceover...
What? Can I just interrupt for a second? We have already alienated every human being on Earth by choosing the movie Sharky's Machine. And God forbid there was one in the entire universe that knew Sharky's Machine. Now we're doing like deep boneyard cuts of Lord of the Rings folklore. Like, this is insanity.
Hey, Zach, it's about to get deeper.
Oh boy.
All right, wake me up when we get to my part, then, in that case.
Yep.
Yeah.
Some Tolkien deep cuts on the way, I hope.
Oh, God. All right.
First shot is him dead on the ground, and then it cuts to this shot of Burt Reynolds and four other dudes walking towards the camera like they're in Reservoir Dogs, and the voiceover kicks in, and it goes, "We were the Istari, me, the leader. Gandalf, that old storm crow, he loved to meddle in everyone else's business, especially mine, it would turn out. Radagast, I'll never understand that old fool. And the other two, I can't even remember their names, they just wandered off. They never really understood what we were here for."
Jesus Christ.
But neither did Gandalf and Radagast.
Right. Actual dialogue. What is happening?
Yeah, this is the intro.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's doing so good with that Lord of the Rings stuff already.
I mean, I guess this episode is going to be fucking 4 hours long, like in true theme of the... Yeah, all right, go ahead. Sorry.
Now, okay, Zach, since you interrupted me, I'm going to break down everything I just said for you.
Yeah, no, that's
hey,
fair.
The wizards. You know, about the two blue wizards. Dumb.
The wizards in Lord of the Rings, their race was called the Istari by the elves. They were sent to Earth.
Do we have time for me to go read a couple books really fast?
Yeah.
Oh, you want to read the Silmarillion? All right, let's get to it, shall we?
And Seth is correct. There were two unnamed blue wizards who just wandered away and never got involved in the world of men and elves.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Back to my voiceover. So.
Oh my God.
Oh dear.
They just wandered off. They never really understood what we were here for. But neither did Gandalf and Radagast, as it turns out, because while they were content with their staffs and all their pets, I always had the skills and the drive to go further. But maybe they were right. After all, they didn't end up with their throats slit in the Shire. So, this is when it cuts
Gandalf
back to...
Gandalf did get murdered by a Balrog, but...
Well, yeah, but then their god brought him back.
Yeah, that's true. True.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue, please. Because I'm already loving this so much, and Zach is already hating it so much.
Yeah. And... This is a regular, the way, this is how, like, I hate your movies and Zach loves them, but for me, so.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yep,
that's
fair. Oh, let's go.
Okay, so then we cut back to the body on the ground, and Gimme Shelter starts to play.
Yes!
Alright, yeah. Alright.
Oh, that's go. Amazing.
Back in it.
Yeah. Let me tell you how I ended up here, and then we get a summary of, like, in voiceover and, like, some shots intercut with Saruman, like, aligning himself with Sauron and his fall from power. When we get to the part of this montage where the Uruk-hai and the War of the Ring start to happen, that part in Gimme Shelter where the background singers go, "Rape, murder is just a shot away." That, so that part is playing. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So then we see that, like, the ants defeat him, and the voiceover kicks back in, and he goes, "It was all over. I got kicked out of Isengard. Sauron fell. I lost my powers. But all those machines I made gave me an idea. I knew just how to stop such an evil from ever rising again. And I figured, hey, this is the fourth age now, the age of men. So why not make a little money in the process? So I headed to the Shire."
Okay.
This is so amazing. This is so amazing.
So, in case you haven't picked up on it, this has been directed by Martin Scorsese, and it's just Goodfellas, but about Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I'm so happy this exists.
Okay.
So then the rest of the movie, we get the actual plot of what happens in the Scouring of the Shire. So, like, there's two perspectives going on. One is from the hobbits that are fighting to get control of the Shire back. Charles Durning is going to be Sam. Bernie Casey is going to be Frodo. And Rachel Ward is going to play Rosie, the girl that Sam ends up marrying. So we finally get a film version of the Scouring of the Shire. But at the same time, it's intercut with all this shit from Saruman's perspective. So we also get to do, like, a Wicked for Lord of the Rings.
Uh-huh.
And Zach, I know you love Wicked, so.
Snap. Oh, boy, do I.
Yeah.
I had fully tuned out, and now I am right back in it. Go on.
So,
which one's green? I mean, who's the green one?
It doesn't matter. So from from Saruman's perspective, we see that he's financing the building of some sort of machine. It's a weapon that he thinks could take out a Sauron-type enemy. And he's financing it by running the Shire like a petty warlord, which is what he does in the Scouring of the Shire chapter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He figures that he's never going to be forgiven for helping Sauron in the first place, so at least this way he could have some peace with himself. Grima Wormtongue is played by Vittorio Gassman, and he loves evil, so he he does not want this shit to go down. So it all ends the same way that it actually does in the book. Wormtongue slits his throat, and then the hobbits shoot him to death with arrows. The ending of the movie is another shot on his dead body on the ground, but this time Comfortably Numb is playing in the background.
Nice!
And,
oh boy, the music
and
in this.
Just like in the book, his body, like, fades and blows away in the wind, and we see this time lapse of the machine he was building as nature starts to take over it, and it gets covered in grass and vines and roots and starts to look like a tree, and children play under it, and there's shade and shit like that.
Shit like that.
Yeah.
Nature.
Eloquently then, put, Lee. Shit like that.
Tolkien-esque even, yes.
And then as this happens, we get the last voiceover. Well, I didn't get to finish my machine, so who knows? Maybe evil will rise again. But at least I tried. And I guess I became the villain that those hobbits needed. So in the end, at least I inspired some good. And then it fades out as the title card gets superimposed over that nature scene. Sharky's machine. Yep.
Ooh. Woof.
I hate you so much.
Oh, no. Lee, I love you so much. That. Oh man.
Oh dear.
Oh, that was so beautiful.
I do want to point out that my entire thing was built around Saruman being called Sharky in one chapter of a book.
Yeah.
And, yep.
No, yeah.
And that's it.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Hey, I've made entire plots off of even more tenuous things. So, such as wordplay, where I break words into words that are no longer in English. So, yep. You know what?
That's the formula, for sure, yeah.
that is my formula.
So, that was my movie.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, man, Lee, I'm so happy you did that. That was some... You're right. You win. You just straight up win that one.
Well, no. We'll get to that. Let's not.
I mean, okay. I won't lay all my cards on the table. Yeah. But, not.
All right. Ugh. So, IMDb synopsis.
Sure. Yeah, I got it right here. Do you want to do it, Zach, or should I?
Traditionally, you. I'd say go for it.
Okay. Okay. Well, so Sharky's Machine, 1981. Tom Sharky is demoted to vice after a bust goes terribly wrong. He and his team stumble across a mob murder tied to prostitution and government.
So similar, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty similar.
Yeah. There's a lot of abuses of power in both. I think I can see some trends, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof.
So Lee, do you have any idea who the director of this movie might be?
No, I don't, but I think I'm going to be excited when you tell me.
No. It's, take one guess.
Take exactly one guess.
One single guess.
Is it Burt Reynolds?
It sure is.
It sure is.
Would you believe it?
The Dirty Birdie himself.
Oh God!
And so, it shows. Oh,
he's got his hands in all the tills for this one.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So famously, this shit. He asked somebody else. I don't recall who it was to direct it, and that person was like, "Nah, I'm good." But maybe,
fuck no.
Yeah. He was like, "No, thanks." But maybe you could do it. And I think he was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I probably could do that." And boy, he couldn't. He was wrong.
yeah. We'll talk about some of Bert's really, let's say, interesting directorial choices.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
But this movie, like I said, it came out in 81. Yeah. So we don't have stats on how much it cost, but we do have stats on how much it made, and that was $35 million. 35.6.
Oh, it
that
cost...
sounds pretty good for like an early 80s movie.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It had to have cost way less than that, yeah.
There are so many scenes that are just taking place in a random Atlanta apartment that
most of this movie is shot through binoculars, to be fair.
Yeah. Accurate statement. Okay, so Zach, do you have any idea how to get into the plot of this? Because I'm not sure how to even begin.
So it's funny you should ask. It was so convoluted that I actually like wrote a plot synopsis knowing that this would be a problem.
because as noted earlier, like, my notes are my chat to you, where I basically just said, so I tried to write notes for this. I did.
It was hard. And it was hard.
every single thing that I wrote for the first, I don't know, like 20 minutes before I started chatting with you, all ended in exclamation point question marks.
Yeah. No, I buy that. I think I told you this. I wrote more notes for this movie than any other one by at least double. At least.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's insane.
Oh, this movie is amazing.
Okay, I'll do quick plot and then let's get into the stuffs.
The dirtiest, birdiest.
Yeah.
I mean, I was trying to do a nitty gritty, but it didn't quite work.
Dirt Bert.
All right. Sharky was a detective. He really, really fucked up a drug sting and got a bunch of civilians shot.
Like a bus driver got his face blown off.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
And a bunch of just like random people on a bus. It was fucked up.
This was a really violent, gory movie, too,
yes,
by the way.
So what was, if you, Seth, if you had to guess, what was the squib budget for this movie? Like,
oh my god. Well, if it made $35 million and probably cost somewhere in the, like, fours or fives, because it was shot on location in Hotlanta.
In Hotlanta, yeah.
B-A-T-L,
I'd say
naturally.
Yeah, squibs, maybe $1.5 million.
Yeah,
I'd
say
like a lot of squibs.
No, I'd say
yeah. Well,
of the five, Bert pulled down 2.5, and then the squibs were another 1.5, and then the rest was all like the other people. Probably.
Yeah.
Okay. So they demote him, and he's booking a hooker, and notices this weird interaction with some shady Italian guy. This inexplicably sets off a huge sting operation, which he's not at all sort of allowed to do in this new demoted position.
Yeah, in Vice instead of in Homicide.
Yeah, that implicates the mayor with the queen of the sex workers, Domino.
Not the mayor.
Or the governor?
Gubernatorial candidate.
Yes, yes.
Jeez, this goes all the way to the top.
Yeah, it does. Sure does. Sure
all,
does.
All the way to the top of Georgia.
Yep. turns out the real
guy, I seem to remember a humble peanut farmer from Georgia who did make it all the way to the top.
Well,
are correct, sir.
I'm talking about Mr. Peanut.
Mr. Peanut.
George C. Peanuts.
Famously, George C. Peanuts, you know... gave up his peanut farm so there wouldn't be any kind of, you know, conflict of interest issues and things like that. You know, like,
right.
he was a stand-up president.
Yeah,
So,
Famous.
You know.
Of planters.
Yeah. Anyway.
Any hoosers. So the real bad guy is this Italian guy. He's a human trafficker / pimp. Domino,
that's Vittorio Gassman, by the way.
I mean, I assumed, yeah.
In case that wasn't clear yet.
No, but there's another Italian guy.
Oh, there is. That's true.
Yeah, Italian Chevy Chase, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, turns out. He's not wrong.
I'll send you a picture, Lee.
For reals, looks like a skeleton, a human skeleton crossed with Chevy Chase turned Italian. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
So after Domino asks to get out of the sex trade, he puts a hit out on her. The assassin, which is this Italian Chevy Chase fella, also the pimp guy's brother, shows up to the apartment, shoots the wrong woman straight in the face, which Bert sees but doesn't know that it's the wrong woman, and then finds the right woman, who he's now been watching for a long time, and takes her into hiding. He's fallen for her, and subsequently she falls for him, and Sharky vows revenge on this Italian shitlord, pimp, human trafficker fella. It doesn't go very well for a long time. He gets the shit beat out of him a couple times, and then he finds the Italian guy dead after the assassin brother Chevy Chase kills him because he was going to run away and he didn't take the brother with him, and he's very pissed off about this.
There's a vaguely homoerotic scene there
between
I was sure they were about to make out.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know they were brothers, but...
Yeah, it was weird and uncomfortable.
Kind of disappointed.
I'm going to interrupt for a second, guys, because Seth just sent me a picture of Italian Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
Holy shit, he looks like an Italian Chevy Chase.
He really does.
Right?
Like, really, really
does.
Yeah,
that's Henry Silva is the actor. Henry Silva.
Yeah.
Good for him. Yeah, I guess. Mm-hmm.
So the brother is now the bad guy.
Chevy Chase, noted shitlord.
Hey guys.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Do you know that? Do you know that according to Chevy Chase, he was kicked out of Steely Dan because he had perfect pitch?
Yeah, well, cocaine's a hell of a drug, turns out.
Oh, that's an important plot point that we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, Chevy Chase and Italian Chevy Chase both really like cocaine, turns out.
both become essentially immortal when on cocaine.
Yeah, also immortal, that's true. Yeah, all of their contemporaries die, but they somehow stay alive. It's very weird. Yeah, so the brother is now the bad guy. He kills just all the cops, like all of the characters we've befriended.
Yeah, that's true.
And then Sharky eventually chases him down, shoots him a bunch, and then he falls out a window, which incidentally was the highest jump stunt ever, as I understand it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, practical jump stunt. It was like 22 stories or 16 or something. It was like crazy high.
Was Hal Needham involved in this movie? Like, what the hell?
No, it was some stunt guy. I read about it. And then he was pissed off because they use all of it except for, they use like the first part of it and then not the rest of it. And he's like, why the fuck did I fall out a window?
Yeah.
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 And then that's the end of the movie. That's the whole thing. So.
Wait, yeah, there really is not an end to the movie. Nope. It's just like. Silva falls out of a window. Well, gets shot out of a window, but clearly looks like he jumped out of a window. Because I'm not sure bullets have that much force.
No, well, Mythbusters famously did this. A bullet will not push a human back literally at all. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So like he falls out of the he gets shot, quote unquote, out of the window, and then it just straight. Oh no! And then there's a short montage of Burt Reynolds on a swing set, and then we go to credits.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess that's the actual end of the movie. Is he ends up with the hooker with the golden heart? Yeah.
What the fuck is this movie?
Yeah. It's the dumbest. Yeah. It's the dumbest. Oh, yes.
It is one of the dumbest movies.
Yep.
I have so many questions.
It's amazing, though. It's amazing, though.
Yeah.
So, like, what is Sharky's machine, then?
So, that's an important part that Seth and I independently noticed. They, in let's say, minute 16 of this movie, they allude to it.
Quite early.
Yeah. They allude to it.
This is a long movie.
Oh, yeah. It's like 2 hours, 1 minute, 2 hours, 2 minutes or something. It's like fucking crazy long.
It's 122, according to Dr. Wikipedia Esquire III.
Yeah, yeah. So like 202, yeah. So Sharky's machine is allegedly, as this detective, he was very adept and very good at what he did, and he had this whole like network of people, and they were his machine that helped him like
so it's crimes. Like a in sense of like a political machine, like that kind of a,
sort of
exactly
that,
yeah
and then but so he so was like demoted.
A network of informants and stuff he had.
Yeah. But he was demoted, and then I guess the implication is, even in Vice, which is made out to be this, like, circus nightmare, he still somehow, like, pulled off a machine situation where he caught this shitty Italian brother situation. I don't know. It's very stupid. The title is maybe the worst title ever, literally ever. It's so bad.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with anything. I thought it was a great title. But it's only a great title if you have no idea what happens in the movie, apparently.
Right. Yeah. Yes. So maybe it worked on that. Like, yeah. Yeah. The first thing I noticed, so we had alluded to Smokey's Bandit, which was, I believe, 1977?
Mm-hmm.
Sometime around then.
So this was 4 years after Smokey, and like when I think of Burt Reynolds, I picture 2017 Burt Reynolds, which is like a mashed up Silly Putty nightmare. Like he's so old and so gross. Yeah. Yeah. But like in Smokey, he's so youthful and so like the pinnacle of masculinity. Somehow in 4 years, he aged like 20 years. Like he looks old and grizzled and weird in this movie. Like it's very.
Can I posit a theory?
Sure.
Can I posit a theory?
Cocaine. Is it cocaine?
In that time. Well, that's a much better theory than the one I was going to posit.
Okay. All right.
No, what I was going to say is in that time period, he and Sally Field had broken up, and he to this day refers to Sally Field as the love of his life.
Oh,
so.
Okay. I buy that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just very weird. He looked much older and like acted much more seriously. Smokey and the Bandit is much more of a comedy, but like he was just very severe in this. Like it was weird. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know.
Interestingly, this movie takes place in the little town of Atlanta, New Jersey, because everyone has a goddamn New Jersey accent.
Yeah. If this was Atlanta, Georgia, they picked the only 4 Italian people that live in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
Well, it's part of that organized crime exchange student program that they've got going.
Yeah.
They bust them in, for sure.
Yeah. Like, one of the major cops his name is Nosh. He's the guy in charge of like wiretapping everyone.
Oh, also a certifiably insane person. Yes.
Oh yeah.
He's
yeah.
great. I liked him the most.
A super Jewish character.
Yeah.
Which basically all the actors were clearly from, the tri-state area. And
well, so did you guys say that this very stereotypically Jewish character was named Nosh?
That's what he's called,
yeah.
So do you think have a Nosh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask is, do you think they, whoever wrote the screenplay, was like, I want a Jewish character, so what's a Jewish word?
Yeah.
Nosh. And then they never went back and changed it.
They workshop Bagel and it didn't work out, and then they went to Nosh, I think, yeah.
Yeah. This is Bagel. I'm Bagel. This is my partner Lox.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. No, everyone is like an exaggerated stereotype. Like even Dirty Birdie is like pinnacle masculinity, whatever guy.
Yeah,
like it's all very silly. Yeah,
it's uncomfortable. I mean, a number of times. Yeah, you know.
He may not have been able to help that. Have you ever seen Burt Reynolds? I mean, he is very masculine.
That is fair. That is fair. So that gets to one of my other points. We talked last week about the It Could Happen to You is like pinnacle 90s movie. Like everything is rollerblades and like ultimate optimism and all that. This is pinnacle early 80s for sure.
Yeah. Like everyone's depressed and everything is terrible.
Everything is like cocaine and sadness and like mirrors are everywhere.
And the score of the movie is just Jimmy Carter's malaise speech looped over and over again.
No, the score is amazing.
The score is insane. So they have really good songs and then mix that with like a guy on a Casio keyboard for the action sequences. Like it's the fucking craziest shit. This is Burt Reynolds being like, what do you mean we need music for an action sequence? I don't know, fucking tell Fred to do it, whatever, like we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bonkers for sure. Yeah.
Woof. There are the so ones? Many crazy things in here. I don't even know.
Yeah,
there's like a coke bong in the like.
Wait.
Yeah.
Like
what?
So this is where I question my knowledge of drug use. Like I don't use a lot of drugs, but I fancy myself like a person who would know how to should the occasion arise.
Sure. Right. I'm not a drugsman by any means, but like I'm pretty sure a bong is used for something other than coke, usually.
No, this
right?
is
well.
This is
turns
like
out.
A this is like a Tatooine cantina hookah bullshit nonsense situation. It's insane. And this is this is in like minute 18 of the movie. Like it's very early.
there's jizz playing in the background.
Yeah. Well, so no. Okay. This is establishing.
Can you jizz all over your ocarina for us, real quick?
Oh no! Oh no!
Look it up, people. We've mentioned it before. Look it up.
Yep.
But no, they make an establishing shot of this. It pans into like where you would put the weed in a bong, but it's this mountain of white powder.
Wait, Zach.
Uh-huh.
I'm realizing if people just typed jizz into a search engine, it's not going to lead them to.
No, we bought
the name of the musical style in Star Wars. It's going to be something way different.
We bought jizz.com and selflessly redirected it to the Cantina Band webpage. Yes.
It's all for the children. We're protecting those sweet children.
For posterity, yes. Yeah.
Oh, their innocent eyes.
But yeah, so there's this establishing shot where they pan into like the bowl of a bung, and it's got this mountain of white powder in it. And then and then someone lights it.
A blind Asian prostitute, which is important.
No, that's true. That is important. And then it pans up, and it's like a James Spader looking motherfucker at the top of this bong, and his nose, the bong comes up and then takes a right angle, like straight, sort of parallel with the ground, and he puts his nose in it and just sniffs the whole thing. And I had to pause the movie and just contemplate what the fuck was going on. Like, it was so bizarre.
Do either of you guys know what year it was when Richard Pryor lit himself on fire freebasing? Do you think this movie showed him the wrong way to freebase?
Well, no. Freebasing is like a distinctly poor person thing to do. Like, this thing was like a whole contraption. Like, it was very convoluted.
This was clearly a hand-blown glass piece.
A hand-blown Cantina Band kind of thing. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It was very weird.
It was just
weird.
It was seeped in jizz.
Yeah. Also, again, like many. God damn it.
Damn it, Seth. I almost spit taped all over my computer.
But, no, like many things in this movie, it had no place. Like, they do a lot of stuff in this movie that it's 2 hours and 2 minutes long, and I was like, they could have left out that entire 45-second nose bong thing. It would have made no fucking difference whatsoever. Yeah. Like, what are we doing?
So, Bert, as a director...
is bad.
Bert is...
He needs editorial license. Yeah.
Here's two things that Bert, as a director, absolutely abhors. He just hates them. And that is... pacing.
Yeah. And oh yeah.
Pacing and a wide shot.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
There are so many close-ups on people's faces when they're making out or dancing or being shot in the face. Like
yeah. You have to imagine there was a DP there that was just like, you sure you don't want to? And he was like, no!
Shoot everything in a fisheye lens.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Oh, God. It's awful.
There are some horrible quotes, too. Like, after Burt Reynolds saves our Domino, there... Oh, God. Okay, so Burt Reynolds has essentially been stalking this woman.
Yes.
Even though he's a cop, like, he's been, like, stationed in the apartment building adjacent and has been just watching her for days.
Yeah. Again, this gets to the point where, like, he is a vice cop. He should be arresting, like, dudes whipping their dicks out at supermarkets.
Yeah,
but somehow he's like... we're going to do a sting operation on this Italian guy. And so I guess his boss was like, okay. Like, it makes no fucking sense whatsoever. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Dirty Birdie has been essentially stalking Rachel Ward for weeks, it seems. And, like, has photos everywhere, and there's a weird, like, love montage. Like, normally you would have, in a tedious romantic subplot, you would have, like, a terrible montage of people falling in love, you know, dating or wandering around in a park or falling into a pond or whatever, you know, normal stuff.
You mean like that scene in Smokey and the Bandit where him and Sally Field like park the car and are walking through the woods?
Yep.
I was going to say, you said falling into a pond. That literally happened in the rollerblading scene of It Could Happen to You.
Hey, there you go.
a movie I think you have not yet seen.
I maybe have not seen it. No, sure. I definitely have not seen that.
Seth, it was fine.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But there's this love montage where, like, Burt Reynolds is in his adjacent apartment, like, being creepy and stalky and staring at her through binoculars. As mentioned, most of this film was done through binoculars.
Quite
sure.
And she's just, like, going about her daily business, like, exercising and hanging out with her friends.
Yeah,
and
that's another 80s thing. There's a lot of dance aerobics in this. So much.
Yeah.
They could have cut 15 minutes out if they just cut all the dance aerobics. It was too much.
Oh, or of like goddamn cityscapes. Like there are so many helicopter shots of Atlanta.
Yep.
Like I really don't give a shit. There was literally 5 minutes of them going up that goddamn tower.
Yep.
And slowly, ever so slowly, zooming in on an elevator.
I mean, I think that's Bert being a first-time director. He's just like, what do directors do? I don't know. Get a helicopter. Sure, whatever.
So, yeah, to me, that screams of, I spent, like, a good chunk of my budget on this helicopter. I'm gonna fucking use
it. Yeah, I think so, very much. Yeah.
Sure. All right, so Dirty Birdie is spying on our former prostitute, current prostitute, whatever. and like her friend gets shot in the face and everybody thinks it's her, and then he finds out that she's still alive, Rachel Ward is still alive, and he takes her to his dad's house, which he had recently bought on auction, and then they just like hang out there and have like,
well, would you say hang out?
Well, I would say that there's some clear, like, domestic abuse stuff first.
Very clear. Very visibly, yes.
Wait. So, Burt Reynolds' character is ostensibly the hero of this movie, and he abuses a woman in it?
He slaps her right in the face several times.
So, Burt Reynolds has fallen in love with Rachel Ward through watching her through binoculars for 2 weeks or whatever.
Like a dirty pervert.
Sure.
And in fact, even watches her and Vittorio have sex.
Yep.
But like, he eventually rescues her ostensibly, and she's back
in his dad's house. The trope of like male action hero rescuing someone
from
a life of prostitution or
that's this movie up and down. It's very shitty. Like, it's just straight up shitty.
Yeah. Well, not only rescues her, but yeah, then they have a big fight about it. He's like, why do you do this? And she's like, oh, I don't. And then like, she's I don't even know what she's pissed off about, but then he pins her to a bed and hits her in the face several times.
Yeah, she's like upset that her friend was very graphically shot in the face.
Yeah, and he's like, you can get out, just leave. And she's like, I don't think you know how this works. And then he hits her in the face.
I was just going to say that. That's not how this works.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
and then Burt Reynolds directorial style shows up and they pan to a weird mural and it's raining. And then they pan back to the same night. They don't like go to the next morning or anything.
Yeah.
They like continue.
That wasn't that wasn't to like symbolize the passage of time. It was just, let me show you this mural.
Just the,
you know what,
the
I thought it would
of like mere hours, like, mere hours.
Yeah,
of,
yeah. If even that. Yeah. And then they fight some more, and then eventually we make it to the morning, mm-hmm. and they're like super super close now.
They're like a newlywed couple. They're like,
yeah,
as cool as they could possibly be. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Burt Reynolds' dad's house is next to a playground.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this quote where Burt Reynolds says, and they're sitting next to the window that overlooks the playground. And he says, I could watch kids playing all day long.
Oh,
and
boy. Oh boy.
And Rachel Ward responds, you're a strange guy, Sharky. And I'm like, yep.
Yeah. I think you're a criminal, Sharky.
She says you're a strange guy, Sharky, a bunch. Yeah. And every single time it's
right.
quite accurate.
Yeah, she's
but
right.
Oh man.
Yeah, so the other a lot of this movie is really unfortunate by today's standards, but the other like genuinely bad one is a lot of the hookers in this movie happen to be Asian.
Yeah.
They come upon a dead one, and the cop buddies say something about, oh, that's just a, imagine a horrible Asian racial slur here, hooker?
Yeah, based off of the word China.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I say choose your own adventure on that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the only, like, reasonable character in this entire movie who is the, like, overly educated black cop friend.
Is this a fucking trend in Burt Reynolds movies where he's like,
yeah,
no,
kinda.
I'm cool with black people? Like
that actually does show up right at the beginning where he's like on this first sting where he completely fucks up and gets a bunch of people shot. Like the guy who's selling him cocaine or whatever is like, don't try to talk like you're black.
Yeah, well, dude. He doesn't use those words, but yes. Yeah.
I am summarizing because
yes.
it, like I don't feel comfortable talking in that manner.
Of course.
But
yeah.
Essentially, the black drug selling guy was like, "Don't even try this. What are you doing, dude? You idiot."
Yeah.
So yes, that is a thing. Yes.
Well, okay. At least they call it out in this one because I remember in Smokey and the Bandit, it was all like high fives and.
Yeah. It was some real, like, jive turkey like, something something. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that, yeah. Like, this is what I imagine non-white people talk like.
Yep.
And I'm going to show them how cool I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes up a couple of times, but it's not nearly as egregious as it was in Smokey and the Bandit.
So the guy asks, like, says the racial slur, and then the black cop goes, I believe it's Asian. And then he leaves the room and the two white cops look at each other and the one guy goes, Asian? And then the other guy, referring to the guy that just left, goes, college. As in, like, him going to college is, like, all prissy and soft or something.
Yeah.
I mean... At least the payoff of that scene was making fun of people who got an education and not something much worse.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, Bernie Casey in this movie is clearly like the best character.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Even though he does have this weird thing where he's like, eating sushi is somehow metaphysical.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of, like, many things where I was just like, I can't even with, like, there's too much. Yeah. I guess another one, Seth and I talked a lot about this. Inexplicably, ninjas show up.
Oh, there are ninjas.
What?
Yeah.
How?
There are ninjas.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. I need to point this out.
Several times.
The timestamp on our recording right now is 1 hour and 6 minutes. Uh-huh. It took you that long to bring up fucking ninjas in this movie?
Not just one time, several times. And they fight.
Yeah, several times.
They beat a guy up with nunchucks, a thing that has never happened in the history of the world.
Zach sent me.
Why are there ninjas? I thought the bad guys were Italian. What the fuck?
There's Asian guys too. Well, it doesn't. I don't know. Seth, do you have any insight here? I got nothing.
I don't, other than you sending me a message that was like, oh yeah, in my notes I wrote unironic nunchucks.
Yeah. No, they're entirely serious. They kick a guy's ass with nunchucks. Like, literally. It's so fucking weird.
They're the minions of a corrupt cop.
Is that it? I honestly didn't know.
Yeah. They were the minions of Smiley. Spoilers. Go back.
You're ruining Sharky's machine for all those people who want to run out and see Sharky's fucking machine.
Turns out that incredibly incompetent cop Smiley was actually corrupt. Bum bum bum.
There
are a couple of like real good quotes though.
Yeah.
So
hit me with them.
When Bernie Casey is like shaking down a guy for information, and Burt Reynolds is inside of this confusing Atlanta Jazz Fusion bar, because you know Atlanta is famous for jazz fusion. The bartender is standing there with Dirty Birdie, and he says if shit go down, you're gonna shoot my dick off. To which
also, to which that's not editorialized, those are the exact words. Yes.
Yeah. To which Dirty Birdie responds, like, in the most deadpan, that's right.
And a young Paul Verhoeven saw this scene and decided I must make RoboCop, a movie where someone gets his dick shot off.
Well, that would make this movie serve any purpose at all, so yeah, I guess fine.
Yeah. There's another scene in which Bernie Casey has been shot so many times by Italian Chevy Chase. And Burt Reynolds comes around the corner and is like, hey, Bernie Casey, quote, you all right? To which Bernie Casey responds, of course not, you asshole. I'm shot.
Yeah. So there, we talked about this too. That scene is baffling. He gets shot like at least 4 times, probably.
Yeah, 4 times like at least. Bunch.
Burt Reynolds rolls up on him. Italian Chevy Chase has since run off. Burt rolls up on him and has like a 2.5 minute conversation with this guy.
Yeah.
Not calling an ambulance and also not chasing after the guy that shot him. He just hangs out and is like, hey, what's like, the deal?
at this point, everyone is leaking IHOP brand strawberry syrup out of every orifice.
Yeah.
Oh, they used way too much corn syrup in their blood mix.
Yeah,
I know. But you know what the key is? You add chocolate, a little bit of chocolate to the mix. It kind of like thickens it up and you know what? And it makes it not entirely unpleasant to have in your mouth. As you have to spit out blood and stuff. It's corn syrup, chocolate, and red Kool-Aid.
Sure.
We'll have to put the recipe up on our website. So,
yeah. The recipe for perfect movie blood is a shit ton of red Kool-Aid.
Yep.
Some are Hershey's chocolate syrup and corn syrup.
And minimal dialogue, turns out,
And minimal dialogue. You asshole, I'm shot.
Yeah, fucking do anything, Burt Reynolds. Why are you talking to me right now?
So let me ask you guys, Seth. Is this like a movie that would be fun to watch?
Oh yeah, it's super fun to watch. I had so much fun watching it.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess fun, maybe.
I did so watching this movie after I had talked to Zach, and he said you should probably already be drinking.
Yes,
to a significant degree before you watch this film.
Sure, sure.
I was sad that I didn't when I watched it. Yes. Yeah.
So Zach, how do you feel rating wise on this movie film?
Yeah. So
hyphenated
on OG. I'm gonna go like a 4, maybe a 4. I don't know.
Wow.
It has its moments. I think it is like a fun, like drunk with friends watch. It's not a good like actual watch. That's, I wouldn't say.
That's very, very active.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a damn shame that all of us live in very distinct places, because we run into a lot of movies that would be fun to watch if we lived in the same area.
Oh my God, so like many.
If we got together like every Thursday or whatever and watched some of these bullshit movies together, I think we would probably
way better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Agreed.
Uh-huh. Agreed, yeah.
On Lee's I mean I like Lord of the Rings, but I don't really know the whole thing. I had no fucking
really
idea.
Do you really like Lord of the Rings?
Well, I guess not, technically.
It doesn't sound
yeah.
like you do, Zach.
Yeah, I guess not. I don't know. I had no fucking idea what you were talking about the whole time, so I'm going to go like a 3 on that. I literally had no idea what was going on.
Wow. You piece of shit.
Wow.
You went very specific, and it wasn't my wheelhouse. Like,
okay.
That's all I got.
Interesting.
I don't feel bad at all for vamping in a way that you have to cut out whole swaths of this episode.
Oh, you mean,
I don't feel bad about it at
you
all.
You mean like this right now? Yeah, that'll be perfect.
Yeah.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yep.
All right. Seth, what you got? What you got?
Original Sharky's Machine. If you are watching it with friends, that's like a 6.5. If you're watching it solo and sober, like a 2.5.
Yeah, okay. Same page. Ooh. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
And then we turn to our good friend Lee, last name.
My last name is last name, so, you know, it works.
Yep. Shit. I'll bleep it.
It's it's true. Lee, last name. I will say, I mean, of course, 10.
Yes! God damn it. God damn it.
Because it had so much nerditry, and it had, like, so much weird literary bullshit piled up inside of it. And, oh my God. Okay, yeah, this is by far my highest rated movie so far. Because it makes so many people, like, it pushes so many people outside of it.
You mean it alienates the audience? Because yes, I fully agree with that. Yes.
Yeah, which is it's like one of my favorite things, clearly. And it happened to be a thing that I know a significant amount about, and it like brings in this literary thing of like taking the antagonist of a story and turning it on its head, and you have to like deal with the antagonist's perspective in order to better understand how the protagonists like legitimize all of their unfortunate bullshit. But sometimes not unfortunate bullshit. But also, I don't know. It was like right up my alley. And you might have just been catering to me. And I don't care. Because good job,
Lee. We do pandering on the show.
Oh, you pandered the shit to my demographic. Yeah. Oh, good job. And by my demographic, I mean me.
Literally. Well, Seth, can I uh-huh, just say go this? Ahead.
Uh-huh.
I learned it from watching you.
Oh. Oh. It's like I'm watching Lee learn how to ride a bike right now, and Seth is the one pushing him off. Just uh-oh, really doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, because he falls over, and then I'm just going to kind of chuckle a little bit. So.
Yeah, yep. And then yell some shit about the Lord of the Rings. I don't fucking know. You guys are idiots. Mm-hmm. I hate you.
All right. So it sounds like we're done with that, with Sharky's Machine.
Yep.
Very,
yep.
It was very polarizing, I think.
Yeah, a little bit. Woof.
Woof indeed, sir. So, woof yeah, indeed.
I guess next week it's going to be my turn. Can't wait for that. I think I'm doing what? Tango and Cash. Editorial Zach here. So we super didn't do Tango and Cash because I think like the day before it came out that Sylvester Stallone is kind of a monster, like the rest of Hollywood apparently is. And we've already made this mistake a few times. I think not knowingly, it came out after the podcast that we did that, you know, Kevin Spacey sucks a whole lot. So, yeah, we instead did Commando because Arnold Schwarzenegger sucked 4 years ago, and that's different than yesterday. So, yeah, anyway, on with it. Fuck. All right. I don't know. Bumper. Lee did a thing and Lord of the Rings.
Wait,
and
no, wait, yeah. Zach, stop. No. You can't say bumper. You can't say bumper.
Oh, I'm just, that's the thing that's going to happen, I assume.
Yeah. Let all our ratings be forgot, cause Seth did it best.
And that is the cut.
Oh, boy.
Holy tits.